Well, welcome back to our study of Genesis. We are in chapter 18, and we're going to start this evening right at the beginning of this chapter. And this chapter records the Lord and two accompanying angels' visits with Abraham, the announcement of Sarah's coming pregnancy, her laughter and denial, the angels leaving for Sodom, the Lord's divulgence of his intent, and Abraham's intercession. So let's begin with the first verse. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day.
So it's pretty self-explanatory. The Lord appeared to Abraham while he was living near the tree of Mamre during the heat of the day, hot in the afternoon probably, and Abraham was sitting in the doorway of his tent.
And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord, if I now have found favor in your sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree.
So when Abraham looked up, he saw three men coming near. Now, we know that from the context of this, they were not men, two angels and the Lord. This is what's called a theophany, where the spiritual being is taken on the form of a natural person. Okay, and so Abraham runs to meet these people, and he bows himself to the ground, and he says, Lord, if I found favor in your sight, don't go away from me, but let me bring a little water and wash your feet and rest under the tree. In other words, what he's saying is, let me be hospitable to you. You understand, this is the culture of the East, so he's doing everything right here. Okay.
And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and you comfort your hearts, and after you shall pass on, and therefore are you come to your servant. And they said, so do, as you have said.
So Abraham told them that he would bring some food to refresh them, and afterwards they could continue on their journey. And they agreed, telling him to do as he had suggested.
And Abraham hastened unto the tent unto Sarah and said, Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it unto a young man, and he hastened to dress it.
So Abraham rushes into the tent and he says to Sarah, Hurry and prepare three measures of ground flour, knead it, make cakes. Then he rushes to the herd and selects a tender cow and gives it to his servants, who immediately dresses it. In other words, he's not wasting time.
Mm-mm. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had them dressed and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat.
So when the meal was ready, Abraham brought it along with cheese and milk and gave it to his visitors, and he stayed with them while they ate beneath the tree at Mamre.
And they said unto him, Where is Sarah, thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent.
It's interesting. His visitors asked him, Where is Sarah? Calls her by name. Where is Sarah, your wife? And he replied, In the tent.
And he said, I will certainly return unto you according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him.
So the Lord said to Abraham, About this time next year I'll return to you, and your wife Sarah will have a son. And Sarah was in the doorway of the tent listening, and the tent was behind where the men were eating.
Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?"
So at this time, Abraham and Sarah are already old, and Sarah's obviously past the age of childbearing, and so she, note this, she laughed in herself, not out loud, but she laughed in herself and thought, "After I'm worn out, my master's old, will I now have this pleasure?"
And the Lord said unto Abraham, "Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed I will return unto thee, according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son."
Now the Lord asked Abraham why Sarah laughed. Now this is interesting. She didn't laugh out loud. And she denies it. You'll see later on when she's confronted, "I didn't laugh." God looks at the heart. You know, I think about Matthew where Jesus talks about, you've heard it said that you're not to murder. But he says if you hate in your heart, you've murdered. You've heard it said that you're not to commit adultery. But if you lust in your heart, you've done it. God looks at the heart. It starts in the heart before it becomes an action. And so God goes right to the root of the thing. Okay, so he says, Sarah laughed, although she didn't laugh out loud. You with me? Now, the rest of that, you know, Sarah had said to herself, not out loud to anyone else, "Shall I, an old woman, truly give birth to a child?" And so God asked Abraham, and evidently Abraham knows now he's talking to the Lord. And so God asked him if anything's too hard for the Lord. And the Lord told Abraham that he would return at the appointed time. And what he means by "I'll return at the appointed time" is you'll see that my word will come to pass at the appointed time. That's how he's returning. His word is coming into fruition. And he said that would, and obviously that's going to be after Sarah becomes pregnant, carries the baby full term, gives birth to the son. Then you'll see that God has returned with his word being fulfilled, okay? He had fulfilled his promise. That's what he's saying.
Before we move on, I want to talk with you a little bit about Sarah. We notice that she addressed her husband as "my Lord," and that's just simply a sign of respect, isn't it? But we have example after example of her being submissive to her husband, even to the point when he said, "Now listen, you tell him you're my sister. If anybody asks, you tell him you're my sister," which was kind of true, partly true. But I think about,
in the New Testament, if you look at Lord, where it says Sarah's calling Abraham Lord, the definition of that is of Lord is supreme in authority. In other words, I recognize you as the supreme authority of the house. And that's the way God ordained the thing, okay? And so it's not that she's worshiping Abraham. This is Lord with a lowercase L, not an uppercase, okay? And we have to keep that in proper perspective. There's a difference between God as Lord and the husband as the supreme authority, okay?
The other thing which Pete's already addressed here, the fact that Sarah laughed within her heart. You know, we can think to ourselves, "No, I would never do that." But sometimes we do laugh at the promises of God in our heart. Well, he'll heal this person, but he can't take on my situation. He can't fix this problem. But we can learn so much from this encounter. in that, as Pete said, the Lord is good for His Word. You know, Scripture tells us that He watches over His Word. He's going to make sure what He says will come to pass. I had a conversation with somebody not too long ago about how important it is for me to continue to learn who God is. And the more I learn about Him, the more insight I gain into His faithfulness, into His integrity, the fact that He is good for His Word. And this is just a prime example. We're going to read this later, but this lady was 90 years old when she gave birth. Today, if you're over 35 years old, it's like, Katie, hold the bar. You're going to have every test under the sun. You know, you are an old woman, geriatrics. We're going to have to watch over this. This woman was 90 when she had this son, this promised son. And so, I know we're going through this, but I want to encourage you. There's so much in this word. There's so much in all these encounters that we see with Abraham and the Lord. This is the sixth time that Abraham has had an encounter with the Lord. And we're going to read here in just a few short verses. We're going to drop down. We're going to see exactly what God thinks of Abraham, because He knows his heart. He knows what this man is going to do, so He can trust him. And there's a lesson in there for us too with that. But you know, we have to cooperate with the Word of God. We have to be willing to accept that Word in our heart to let it manifest and grow within us, don't we? We can't shut it off. And thankfully, Sarah, to me, had a submissive heart. And I believe at that moment when the Lord said, "Is there anything too hard for the Lord?" She'd heard all the rest of it, so you know she heard that too. No, you did laugh. I believe that was a wake-up call, and right then in her heart, that word came alive.
You know, and I think of this visitation, the Lord initiates the promise. In other words, by giving His Word. So that's His first appearance is initiating by giving the promise. When He says, at the return, when the Lord returns, it's the fulfillment of His promise. God comes, He speaks to you. When that promise is fulfilled, then God has shown up in His Word, the fulfillment of that Word. God's always good for His Word, do you understand? Mm-hmm. He doesn't just speak it, but He confirms it with the sign following.
What a sign this was. Verse 15. Did we read 15? Okay.
15.
Then Sarah denied, saying, "I laughed not, for she was afraid." And He said, "No, but thou didst laugh."
So Sarah, we know, laughed inwardly, but she says, "I didn't laugh." She was afraid.
Mm-hmm.
She said, "I didn't laugh." The Lord said, "No, you did laugh." Now, what has God here? The heart. There's a principle in that. God hears the heart. So you beware of what's going on in your heart. And make sure that what's going on in your heart is pleasing to the Lord. Okay?
Yeah. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way.
Well, here we see it says afterwards the men arose and they looked toward Sodom, again walking in that direction, and Abraham walked with them as He sent them away. Now, we know they weren't men as men. We know from this text they're two angels.
Mm-hmm.
And we know the Lord, okay? So there's the Lord and two angels that are walking, appearing as men, okay?
And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him.
So the Lord chose not to hide from Abraham what he was about to do to Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, Heather mentioned this earlier, but it's really incredible when you think about it. God knew that through Abraham, a great mighty nation would come forth, and that all the nations of the earth would be blessed as a result of him. God knew that. So he says, I'm not going to hide this. Now he goes on, we'll find God can trust him.
Mm-hmm.
If God can trust you, he'll reveal things to you. And so there may be something to think about in that aspect. But God knew him, so he said, I'm not going to hide what I'm about to do. Why is that? Because Abraham had some interest there. He had a nephew that was there. And so God is opening the door for Abraham to intercede for his nephew by telling him what he's about to do. Okay?
Verse 19. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him.
This is really a compliment, obviously, to Abraham. You just ask yourself, does the Lord know me that I would do as Abraham would do? He says, I know he'll properly instruct his children and his household that was succeeding. In other words, he's not only going to be a good example, he's going to pour into them. He's going to teach them. He knew Abraham would command them to follow the way of the Lord, which would require them to do right and exercise good judgment. And their obedience would allow the Lord to fulfill all that he had promised Abraham. Now, this is something we have to take in consideration. When God makes a promise, then we have to cooperate with the promise. You with me? Now, for Sarah to become pregnant, you don't have to be a mental giant to figure that Abraham and Sarah had to cooperate with that. There was an act they had to make in order for the conception to take place. You see what I'm saying? And so God makes promises, and then we have to believe in that promise. We have to allow that promise to work in our lives.
I had a note here, and this is worthy of reading to y'all. And Pete said this, but our faith and our obedience allows God to fulfill his promises within our lives. Our faith and our obedience. It's not enough just to believe. We have to act upon that, right? Faith without works is dead. You remember that? Remember we talked about that? Abraham had the works here to back up the faith. By my faith, we can tell that Abraham had faith by what he did, right?
And through faith and patience, he inherited the promise, right?
Yeah, there's that mm-hmm. too. A lot of patience. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me. And if not, I will know.
This just shows how just and fair God is. He doesn't react, but he investigates. Okay? And so it says that the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great. The sin's very severe. And I'm going down and I'm going to observe this, you know, myself to see if these destructive ways are as bad as the cry. If not, I'll know. Now, we know God knows, but God is showing how fair He is, not saying, well, I'm God and I know, but I'm God and I will investigate. In other words, I'll confirm it. You with me? Okay.
And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord.
So these men, these angels who appear as men, they start going on toward Sodom, and the Lord stays there with Abraham. And so it's just Abraham and the Lord standing there now.
Mm-hmm. And Abraham drew near, and that's important. He drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked?
Well, you're talking about a friend of God.
Yes.
We know Abraham's called a friend of God, right?
Mm-hmm.
Abraham draws near to the Lord, and he says to the Lord, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? I mean, did you think about that? You're making this statement to your Creator, right?
That's pretty bold, isn't it?
That is pretty bold.
Mm-hmm. But you know what? You can make bold statements when you're speaking to somebody that's full of integrity, because you can trust that they're going to act upon that integrity. 24 and 25. Preadventure, there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee, shall not the judge of all the earth do right?
No, Abraham's not being disrespectful, so don't go there. But he's interceding. In other words, his whole heart is to intercede. So he says, what if there's 50 righteous people in the city? Will you destroy it? Will you spare the city for 50 righteous? Far be it from you to destroy the righteous with the wicked. And then he makes this statement, will the judge of the earth not do what is right? Of course he will. But God says, put me in remembrance.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yes.
And so Abraham is in a mode of intercession by talking to the Lord. Okay?
And what you're going to see here is you're going to see the power of intercession.
Oh, yeah.
So don't ever think that the role you play in intercession, intercessory prayer, is not important. Because you're going to see what this man does through his prayer, through his intercession. And the Lord said, If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes.
So God responds, all right, if I find 50 righteous people in Sodom, I won't destroy it.
He didn't stop though, did he? He kept on going. And the Lord said, and Abraham answered and said, behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Preadventure, there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, if I find there 45, I will not destroy it.
So Abraham spoke again to the Lord. He said, I, dust and ashes, have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. What if there's 45 people in the city? Will you spare the city for their sake? And the Lord says, if I can find 45 people in the city, righteous people, I won't destroy it.
And he spoke unto him yet again and said, Preadventure, there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake.
So Abraham continues to intercede.
Mm-hmm.
What if there's 40 righteous people? Will you spare the city for 40? And the Lord said, I won't destroy it if I can find 40 righteous people.
And he said unto him, O let the Lord not be angry, and I will speak. Preadventure, there shall 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there.
And it's interesting that Abraham would say this, because a lot of times I think people think the Lord gets upset with us for making requests. And so he goes on to say, you know, don't be angry with me. What if there's 30 righteous people in the city? Will you spare it for 30 righteous people?
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord replied, I will not destroy the city if I can find 30 righteous people.
And he said, Behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Preadventure, there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake.
And so Abraham goes, how about 20? Will you spare the city if there's 20 righteous people there? The Lord says, if I can find 20 righteous people, I'll spare the city.
And he said, Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet this once. Preadventure, 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake.
Now I'm thinking Abraham would think, surely to goodness, there got to be 10 righteous people in the city. So he says, All right. Lord, don't be angry with me, but if there's 10 righteous people, will you spare the city for 10? The Lord says, if I can find 10 righteous people, then I won't destroy the city. And so, Abraham's the one that stopped at 10.
Mm-hmm.
God didn't tell him to stop. He chose to stop, okay? God was being fair to him, and I think Abraham thought, well, that should get it done. Okay?
Yeah. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communion with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place.
So after the Lord finished talking with Abraham, the Lord went away, and Abraham returned to his home or his tent. Now here you can see that Abraham knew he was talking to the Lord. And he's called a friend of God. They're talking as a friend to a friend in this conversation. Respectful, but still talking as a friend and making requests, interceding. This really is incredible. But yet God wants us to commune with Him.
Mm-hmm.
God wants us to talk with Him. God wants us to intercede for situations and circumstances. Not just say, well, just give them what they deserve. Don't be like Jonah. Jonah wanted Nineveh destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
But God wanted Nineveh to repent.
Mm-hmm.
And God favored the repentance, you understand, not the destruction. He's not willing that any should perish.
Yes.
I thank God for intercessors. And we need to intercede for others as well. Okay? And that's something to be learned from all this. As you realize the importance of intercession and the power of intercession. And we'll see this unfold a little bit more as we go on into the next chapter.
Mm-hmm. Chapter 19 documents the angels' visit to Sodom, Lot taking them to his house, the perversity of the men of Sodom, the angels striking them with blindness, the escape of Lot with his wife and two daughters, Lot's wife becoming a pillar of salt, and the incest of Lot with his two daughters that produced the nations of Moab and Ammon. Okay. Verse 1 of chapter 19. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground.
So these two angels who had been there with Abraham, they get to Sodom in the evening. And Lot was sitting at the gate of the city. The gate is would be comparable, I guess, to what we would call the courthouse today. It's where the decisions are made and legal things were carried out. And so Lot's sitting at the gate of Sodom, and he sees these two men, these angels. And he gets up, he goes to them, and he bows his face to the ground. In other words, he's treating them with respect, okay?
And he said, "Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early, and go on your ways." And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat.
And so Lot spoke to these men, and he asked them to come to his house, where they could refresh themselves. And then they could rise early the next morning, continue on their journey. And at first they declined his offer, but after much urging from Lot, they yielded and went to his house, and he prepared a meal for them, and they ate.
And at this point, Lot is viewing these two as men, natural men. I've got a scripture reference in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, that you might want to take note of. You know, we never know when we're entertaining angels.
Unaware.
Mm-hmm. Unaware. Okay, verses 4 and 5. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, "Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them."
So before they went to bed, men from every part of Sodom surrounded the house. And these men were old and young men. And they called out to Lot and asked him where the men were who had come to him. And they said, "Send them out to us so that we can have sexual relations with them." The homosexual relationship, you understand. Shows you the perversion of Sodom.
Mm-hmm. And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, "I pray you, brethren, do not do so wickedly."
Now I want you to look at the situation that Lot has placed himself in by making a bad choice when Abraham gave him the choice of where he wanted to go. Now he puts them in a very precarious situation to protect these guests who've come to him. And so these men surround the house. Lot goes outside to talk with them. They're evidently at the gate of the house. And he shuts the door to his house behind him. He goes out and he speaks to them and he requests that they not do such a wicked thing. Wicked thing. I don't know how people miss that today. Wicked. That's what it is. It's wicked, okay?
"Behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do you to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof." And they said, "Stand back." And they said again, "This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them." And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door.
So, look at the situation Lot's in now. He tells these men, listen, I have two virgin daughters. I'll bring them out, and you do whatever you want to. I can't imagine that. I mean, that's beyond my comprehension. You know, I'll bring them out, but you leave these men alone. He said, I've brought him into my house, so he felt responsible for their protection. And so he's willing to sacrifice, if you will, two virgin daughters to wicked men.
I read verse 9.
You kept going,
I
okay?
Did.
And so the men told Lot, get out of the way. And they viewed Lot as a stranger who had settled among them, and now he's trying to act as their judge. And they told him that they would deal worse with him than with his guest. And so when they pushed Lot backward, they attempted to break down the door to get in to his place, okay? Did you keep going?
I will.
Okay.
But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door.
So Lot's two guests, they open the door and pull him inside and then close the door and strike the men outside, both young and old, with blindness so that they could not find the door.
And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it.
All right, but our time's up here, so we'll come back with explanation on this after the break, okay?
Okay.